This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message. What's up, everybody? Listen, I know you guys were totally not expecting to see me pop on the stage, right? But I'm excited. So Chris is always saying, like, I need you to preach. I'm like, no, 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 no. We all know our giftings, right? We all know. We all know. Hey, Josh, can you just turn this mic up? Because I just took my ears out and I feel deaf. Okay, thank you. I just can't hear myself now. I don't want to wear these. That'd be weird. Anyways, thank you guys for joining us. If it is your first time at Motion Church, we actually have a male preacher. So for all of y'all getting all in your feels right now about a girl speaking, it's 2021. Get over it, right? But anyways, no, seriously, my husband usually preaches. He's amazing. He was asked to preach at a church in Dallas. And when he said yes, I don't think he really realized it was going to be on a Sunday morning. And so anyways, last night he was kind of having a little moment. He was like, I don't really want to go to Dallas. I just want to go to our church. Our church is the best. I'm like, you're right. You're going to miss it. I was hoping he'd have a little FOMO, like the fear of missing out. But he said he's just going to watch it. So, hey, when the cat's away, the mouse will play, right? So just a little bit, we're going to talk this morning about TLC, Tender Loving Care. And some of you, if you're new or maybe you don't know us, you're thinking like, what the heck does this girl know about relationships or tender loving care, right? Well, I'll tell you, Chris and I have been married. This June will be our 20-year wedding anniversary. 20 years! And I love the man. I mean, literally, we got married before we were 20, and now we've been married for 20 years. That is so weird. But anyways, I love him more today than I did on the day that I married him. And the day that I married him, I didn't actually think it was possible to love anyone anymore than what I already loved him. And so there is some magic in relationships. I'm not saying we know it all, but I'm saying we have lived and we have learned. I've got my kids on the front. I got Ty. Ty, I told you I was going to make you stand up. This is Ty. She said, if you tell me to stand up, Mom, I'm not doing it. She's actually my most obedient child, but in this moment, she doesn't want to, so that's okay. Anyway, this is Ty. She's 18. Yes. And this is Tavian. He's 15. And then I have a 10-year-old brat, and he's in Motown. So let's talk a little bit about relationships, right? Relationships, we're all in them. And maybe you're saying right now, actually, I'm single. I'm not in a relationship. Oh, you're in a relationship. You're in friendships, your parents, your children. Maybe you're a sister to someone. Maybe you're a brother to someone. You have work relationships. You are in relationships more than you think. Whether we like it or not, and whether it's good or bad, we are in relationships. Relationships, I would say they start out pretty dreamy, right? I mean, even with friends, you're like, oh man, such a great friend. This is such a good person. And they can quickly go to a very stormy, dark nightmare, right? If we don't know how to handle our relationships. How? Why, you may ask? We can all relate it back to TLC, Tender Loving Care. Now, what is TLC? Now, if you're from the 90s, like me, you're like, I know what TLC is. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Let's stick to the rivers and the Not as many 90s people. Okay, that's cool. But if you Google TLC, you may see a band from the 90s, early 2000s. That's called a TLC. They got some pretty good stuff out there. It's old, but it's cool. Okay, so let's break it down. Tender loving care. We hear TLC all the time. Oh, you just need a little TLC. Or you buy a house that looks like a piece, and you're like, oh, honey, it's okay. We just need, it just needs a little TLC. $10,000 later, the kitchen is still ugly. And you're like, how was that a little bit of TLC, right? TLC, tender loving care. So what, let's just break it down like Chris does, right? When I was preparing this, I was like, I'm not a preacher. I'm not. He's way better at it than I am. And I thought, honestly, when he asked me to preach, I thought he was gonna go like write a sermon for me or something. and then I could just read it and rehearse it. That's not what he did. He said, hey, we're going to do this sermon series. It's called TLC. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, it's a relationship series. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, are you going to like give me something to preach? He's like, no. God does that. So now I have to make time to pray for God to give me a sermon. I'm like, oh my gosh, my children are about to be neglected because I got things I need to do. But they're not neglected, are you? I mean, they may have made their own sandwiches and cereal a lot the past 2 weeks, but it's okay. So let's break it down. Tender, loving, care. What is tender? It's not the hookup app. I can tell you that. Because I know some of y'all, the first thing you just came up with, like the hookup app. No, not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about how you like your steak at dinner. I'm not talking about that kind of tender. I'm talking about tender, showing gentleness, concern, and sympathy. When is the last time you had a relationship, I'm talking friendship, marriage, whatever, that you have shown gentleness, concern, or sympathy? I'm going to tell you right now, sympathy is at the bottom of my list, which I'm really glad I didn't marry like a sissy boy, because I would just be like, who cares? Suck it up. Figure it out. You can ask my kids. Like, that's how I parent. You don't know what to do, honey? Figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. Figure it out. I have a really funny picture that I wish I could show y'all, but yesterday, I don't have the picture, but I'm going to paint them a picture with my words. So yesterday, just to give you an example of my parenting style, yesterday we were at a house. It's a mobile home that we were renovating, and so we were like, all right, I told the boys, go rip the ceiling out, and then we'll go to lunch. They're like, demo this. Here's a hammer. Here's some gloves. Just demo the ceiling. I don't really care how you do it. Figure it out. So Chris rolls around. He's like, it's time to eat. Because he's like, it's lunchtime. It's past lunchtime. Like, let's go eat. I'm like, okay, well, the boys need to finish this ceiling. They're like, we need the ladder. We need the ladder to finish. I said, do you want lunch? Figure it out. So I look around the corner, and Tavian has the 10-year-old on his shoulders. And he's up there trying to get the last. I'm like, when it's finished, we'll eat. And that is how I show my tender, loving care. I was concerned that we needed to get it done. Okay? I was gentle in the fact that, like, I'm going to feed you. I love you. But the sympathy is at the bottom of the list. It's, if you have a sad story, don't tell me. Just kidding. You can tell me. I'll feel bad for you. I'm just bad at it. So let's look at loving, the next one. So that's tender, loving, feeling or showing great care. Now, this is a really good one. I feel like I'm pretty good at this one. And I want y'all to think about yourselves right now. I'm good at that. I'm not good at that. I need to work on that. We don't call them strengths and weaknesses. We call them strengths and growth areas. That's how we put a positive. Okay, you don't have weaknesses. You have growth areas. Feeling or showing great care. I feel like I'm a little too good at this one personally in my relationships because I care about everything a lot. I mean, does anybody else? Anybody else? Like, I just care about everything too much. And Chris is rolling behind me. Who cares, babe? Who cares what they're saying? Who cares? I'm like, yeah, I wish I could not care, but I do. A lot. I'm like, kids, how was your day? Tell me everything. Tell me everything. Everyone nice to you? You being nice to everyone? Are you showing respect? They're like, oh my God, Mom, it's just a normal day at school. Did you learn anything? What are they teaching you at that school? You know, what are your science teachers telling you about creation? Because I just care too much sometimes. But that's what love is, feeling or showing great care. And then the last one, I'm sorry, the last one is care, tender, loving care. Let's look at care. Care, oh my gosh, when I read this definition, I Googled it. I made sure it was from dictionary.com. It wasn't like a weird one. I literally was blown away. Analogies were flooding my mind when I thought about this in regard to relationships. Care, the definition, is the provision of what is necessary for health, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. Isn't that good? Like, think about your spouse right now. If you're single, you're like, thanks for bringing it up. Hey, church is a great place to meet someone. Just saying. I go, I'm funny. Okay, listen, I need y'all to laugh when I'm, I told my kids, sit on the front, laugh when you think I'm being funny. They don't care. But anyway, seriously, the provision of what is necessary for the health, maintenance, and protection, come on somebody, of someone or something. So let's look at relationships, friendships, marriage. I ask myself, what makes them work? What makes them work? Better question, what makes them fail? What makes two people that loved each other so much on their wedding day, like so much, baby, we can do whatever you want to do. We can go wherever you want to go. I'll let you play video games all night. The husbands are like, can you please show me where those women are? They don't exist. Actually, Christy, maybe. She's a gamer. She's a gamer. It's cool. My brother married a gamer, too. It's weird. They get together and just play video games. I'm just like, okay. You guys want to, like, go do something fun? This is fun. That's just making my thumbs hurt, but it's cool. I ask myself, what makes them work? What makes them fail? Well, here's the thing. You can Google it. You can Google, what makes a marriage work? What makes a marriage fail? What makes friendships work? How do I find a best friend? And Google can tell you, or you can observe and learn from others. Hello. Unfortunately, that's how most of us learn. And you can do counseling. I seriously recommend counseling. We call it just, you know, personality education. Because a lot of times people go to counseling to fix the other person. And then they realize themselves that's the problem. And then you know what they do? They just stop going to counseling. They don't actually fix themselves. They're just like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. That's why I'm not a counselor. You don't want to hear what I have to say. You can read a book to learn. Oh my gosh, James Dobson is like the king of relationships, especially like within the family. He's amazing. He wrote a book called, what was that book called? Bringing Up Boys. And when we actually first adopted Tavian, his four-year-old wild self, I was like, I need to read a book. I need to read a parenting book on boys. And if he's going to live to become a man. And so I read that book, and James Dobson was amazing. So you can read a book to learn about relationships. By the way, if you have a son, I highly recommend that book, especially if you're the mom, because you just don't understand boys. You're not in their, you are not in that head. And it's a good thing. You can read a book. You can do a little of all of that. But when I turn to marriage, when I turn to relationships in the Bible, I read a lot about how they work and how they fail. And let's go ahead and talk about friendships, because those always start out pretty good, and then you see that Facebook memory. Facebook memory from 3 years ago. You're like, oh my God, I haven't seen her in forever. You're like, dang, I forgot we were friends. Like, you know what I mean? Like those Facebook memories that just remind you of everyone that is no longer in your life. I'm laughing because it's true. Y'all aren't laughing, but maybe y'all still got all your friends. But can we talk about a miracle? Can we talk about a miracle, though? The fact that Jesus was in his mid-30s and had 12 close friends. That's a waymaker, miracle worker. Come on, that's a miracle. Mid-30s? Who's in their mid-30s? I mean, I am. Anybody else? 12 close friends, talk to me after church. They ain't there. Not that we don't have friends, but like 12 close friends, that is a biblical miracle. And by the way, Chris always wants to sing when he preaches, so I just thought it was, I'm just really getting him today. I was like, I'm going to sing at least three times in my sermon. That was twice, and the third one is not planned. So we'll see if that happens. It's appropriate to sing if you feel like it when you preach. But relationships need TLC. They need TLC to grow. And they need TLC to stay focused. When you don't have enough TLC, your relationship will fail. It just will. But you'll say things like this, oh, we just went our separate ways. So did Jesus and his disciples. They went to different cities. Like, they split up. And they didn't even have cell phones. And they still somehow communicated. You know how they wrote letters? They wrote letters to one another, and they were delivered like on a camel. They cared about their friendships. We can't even send a text when we think about somebody. Oh, you know, you've crossed my mind so many times. Oh, that's awesome. Why haven't you texted me? They'd be like, oh, I message you on Facebook Messenger. I'm like, oh, God, I do not get on that. Okay? If you message me on Facebook Messenger, it's going to be weeks probably before I see it because my phone has zero notifications. Zero. But we'll talk about that later because that's how I stay focused in my daily life and not distracted. Anyways, okay, biblical miracle, blah, blah, blah. I have to go through my notes. Where was I? I don't do this regularly. Chris, he's cool like that. I'm not. Oh, yeah. I literally wrote to myself, revisit definitions. Cool. The only person that has a copy of these notes is Isaac because he's running the screens. He's like, hey, Shelly, do you have notes? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I need them for the slides. I'm like, here you go, man. It's my mind on paper. Sorry. I didn't filter those out for you. But relationships, we're talking about TLC. We wanted to revisit. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to skip that. Okay. So let's talk about when you need the most help. You're going to go to the book of love. 1 Corinthians 13. The book of love. Actually, the real book of love, you talk about 50 Shades of Grey. You need to read the Song of Solomon in the Message version. I feel like I'm watching a rated R movie. I'm like, I can't even read it. If you're a teenager right now, you're like, I just saw you taking notes. You hadn't taken notes the whole time. Song of Solomon, Message version. What you doing, honey? Just read my Bible. Why you got that weird music on? I don't know. That would be so hilarious. Oh, I'm just reading about Song of Solomon. It is embarrassing. Like, for real. Anyways, so some of y'all might not be embarrassed because y'all watch trash, and maybe that's normal for you, but it's not normal for me, and so I'm like, oh, this is weird. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 13, we're not going to read four chapters. Verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. I want you to put check marks in your head right now. When you're thinking about your friendships, your marriage, your relationships, put a check mark. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Let's just dishonor others. Chris and I, number one rule for our marriage, if you talk bad about your spouse, we will never hang out with you again. We just won't. Because honor comes first in marriage. When you love someone, you do not talk about that person to someone else. That's just code. That's a read code for us. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Oh, I got to work on that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ladies, don't be bringing up old stuff. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. I wore my love shirt today just because I was like feeling it, you know? I was like, I'm going to wear this love shirt just because we're talking about love. If having the relationship of our dreams were easy, we'd all have it. Am I right? If having the relationship of your dreams was easy, we would all have it. But you'll never have enough love, and you'll never have enough strength. You need Jesus, the love that never fails. And later we're going to talk about a Christ-centered relationship that can be friendship or marriage. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So we talked about what makes them work. It's TLC. Duh. But what makes them fail? What makes them fail is the lack of TLC. It's just the opposite. TLC, lack of TLC. Here's what I know. The relationships that we desire with our kids, our spouse, our bestie, they don't just happen with a few lucky scenarios. I don't know if you've ever lived your life like that. Like, oh, I just assumed you knew type situation. I assumed you thought we were friends. I assumed I told you the day I married you that I loved you. Why do I have to tell you again? Well, because you do. It's a thing, right? You have to be intentional every single day. If you want a relationship that has TLC, you have to be intentional every single day. And that takes a lot of work. People don't want to work. People don't want to work for relationships. I'm not talking about a paycheck. I'm talking about working for relationships, for healthy relationships. And what does that mean? James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Do we have that on the screens? Oh, okay, sorry. I thought we did. It's cool. So I'm gonna say that again. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." That right there is TLC. James chapter 1, verse 19. Listen. Stop getting mad. Take it easy. Listen to what they're saying. Quick to listen. What does that mean? Modern day translation. Give people your full attention. This means not being on your dinner. This means not being on your phone at dinner. I actually think I said that. Not being on your dinner. No, I didn't. Okay. Not being on your phone at dinner. That's quick to listen. When your kids are telling you stories about how their day was, sometimes they can go on and on and on and on. And you're like, get to the point, right? We have to be quick to listen. Quick to listen means stop being on your phone. Stop being on your phone. Or when your kids or someone is telling you something, like if I'm talking to someone and they do this thing, I'm like, have a great day. See you later. I'm like, wow, people are so rude. People are so rude. But you know what's crazy? I don't get mad at that person. You know why? Because they don't even know they're doing it. They are so conditioned to notifications and conditioned to checking the phone that they don't even realize, I have to hurry up. Okay, I read this to myself last night and it was 11 minutes. I'm past 11 minutes and I still have stuff to do. So let me just skip over some of this. You have to be intentional, blah, blah, blah. Okay, quick to listen. You have to be quick to listen. We just talked about that modern day translation. Pay attention to people in your life when they're telling you stuff. Second thing, slow to become angry. In a world that is constantly triggered and shook, can we please get some people that are slow to anger? Oh my God, people get so mad about everything, right? Thank y'all. I like that clap. It made me feel good. It made me feel like y'all are listening. Quick to listen. See, y'all are being quick to listen. That's great. But seriously, the world is so triggered right now. You can't say anything to anybody because you're like, they might get mad. Chris is like, who cares? I'm like, yeah, who cares? That's what I'm reminding myself of. Who cares? In a world that's constantly triggered, it's self-explanatory. Slow to become angry. So to sum it up and keep it simple, as Chris would say, we're about to do 3 D's of how our relationships fail. You ready for this? Being disconnected. I don't know what happened. He's just not the same anymore. Our friendship, it just grew apart. Or were you just disconnected? And you forgot who that person was. Did they change or did you just forget? Now, I'm not saying people don't change, because I think they do. I think they change for the good, and I think they change for the bad, which is why it's important for us to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love perseveres. It's through the good and the bad. A lot of times these days we do wedding vows. It's like, for richer or poor, richer. For sickness or in health. Health. That's not an option. That's not an and or. It's just saying yes If you're sick, I love you. Yes, if you're healthy, I love you. If we broke as a joke, I still love you. If we're super rich, I might love you more. I don't know, but like, I love you. I can promise you, you won't have the problem. So maybe that creates love. I don't really know. But being disconnected, for sure, will make your relationship fail. Disconnected. I see it all the time. Chris and I, when we go on dates, we keep our phones away from us. If you text us or call us on a Friday night, Robert Brown. we're probably not going to answer. I think Chris has answered the phone a few times for Robert. I'm like, tell that boy we're on a date. Tell him we are on a date. You call him later. But we usually keep our phones away, and we love to look around at the other tables and see people just like this. Like, they're on a date, and they're not talking. I'm like, I'm about to go over there and give them some relationship advice because they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. You can't raise your kids being on your phone, people. You can't raise kids being on your phone. You can't have a relationship that thrives on your phone. Now, listen, I love my phone, okay? I do. I want the new iPhone 12. I want it, but I'm still paying on my 11. You know what I'm saying? Anybody feel me? Anybody like, three more months? And you're like, come on. I'm ready to get that iPhone 12. But anyways, I love my phone. I'm not saying phones are bad. But I'm saying don't let them be a distraction and ruin your marriage. Ruin your children. Ruin your, I don't know why I don't have any friends. Because you always on your phone. You know, like, I'll be like, Ty, invite someone over. You want to hang out with someone? She's like, wow, they're just going to be on their phone the whole time. I'm like, you right? And I'm like, hey, Ty, you want to hang out? But I got to use my phone to put some music on because we got, you know. All right. Being disconnected is number one. Second D, being distracted. Being distracted. You're like, isn't that the same thing? No, it's not. You can spend way too much time at work. You can be distracted. You can spend, oh, I know, like, girls are like, oh, I got to have my girl night. I mean, that's cool, but when's the last time you went on a night with your husband? Distracted. Things that matter less. I'm not going to say they don't matter. Being destructive is number three. Being destructive. This goes back to talking about someone. Remember, like, when you first got together, or maybe you first became friends with someone, and they were like these weird little things that they did, and you're like, oh, it's so cute. 5 years down the road, you're like, God, that is so annoying. Like, well, I'm so glad Chris isn't here. This is so fun. Okay, so Chris, he chews popsicles really loud. And I have a problem. I've actually had to walk away from the dinner table because I can't stand to hear people chewing. Does anybody else have this problem? I looked it up. You're okay. It's called misophonia. And it's when you hear stuff and it literally sends you over the edge, mainly chewing. So anyways, I just started buying Chris ice cream. Gotcha. So he doesn't chew the popsicles, and I can actually be connected with him, and we can sit on the couch together. It's awesome. Disconnected, distracted, which I am right now, destructive. Destructive. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just avoid destructive critique. Does that make sense? Why do you always do that? What's wrong with you? Who taught you that? Are you always going to be like this? Are you ever going to take the trash before it gets? Just have a 15-year-old son that fixes that problem. Thank you, Tavian, for taking the trash. I love you. But anyways, being destructive, seriously. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of pet peeves. I mean, sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? All right, so I'm going to bring up two people. I actually have four people. I'm going to bring up two at a time. I have two couples that I picked from the church, and I'm just going to ask them a few questions, and then we will be done, okay? So Jimmy and Debbie, if you guys will come on up. We got stairs for you guys right here. You got it. Now, this is a good-looking couple right here. I'm sure you guys have seen them greeting We chose them because they're the cutest. They match almost every Sunday, and they're so cute. This is their son. Didn't they do a great job? These guys know how to do it. So Jimmy and Debbie, I don't know who wants to go first, but my question is, how have y'all kept a strong marriage and showed TLC over all the years?
Well, for one, to start off with, we've always tried to base our marriage on the triangle, you know, the husband, the wife, and God. And as you both focus on God, you grow together and come together. So we've always tried to use that as our instruction on.
That's good. And Jimmy's one of those. He does not argue. He is always very calm. I don't know if this is on or not. Is it? Can you hear me? Okay. And he's just a very kind person. He and I dated back in the 70s. And we're engaged to be married, dated all through high school. And our senior year, I broke up with him because he was too nice.
I didn't know she wanted me to be mean.
He would not argue. If we got angry, he would say, "Darling, I'll be back when you're not angry." And I'd be like, you know, I wanted to argue. Well, God had a lot to teach me in 23 years. So 23 years later, we got our second chance, and we've been married almost 26 years, and God has blessed us, and we don't really argue or fight or anything like that. We don't go to bed angry.
Amen.
Ever, because he may never wake up, you know, yeah. Or I may kill him in his sleep.
I mean, I was thinking so you don't carry it on to the next day. Or they may not wake up. I mean, that's true. We're not promised tomorrow. I know marriages go through seasons, though, that they're not always fun. Have you ever been through a season like that, and how did you keep love? Or is it just always fun?
I don't know that we've ever had a serious anything through our
marriage. Because y'all are so nice and fun. Gentleness, people. This is tender. This is tenderness right here that has made this marriage work.
One thing that always struck me when we was on our honeymoon up in Mena, Arkansas, we went into town that Sunday morning, attended church, and it just so happened the Lord sort of spoke through us through the preacher's sermon, and he preached about marriage and stuff. And the thing that really stuck in my head was he said, always try to remain the person that he or she fell in love with throughout the years, you know. And that's always, of course, I realize, you know, like you said, people's going to change. But you still can always be gentle, kind, and like that.
And he is. I'm not always gentle and kind.
And like, I don't believe that for a second.
And like Shelley said earlier, Paul says in 4 Corinthians verse 26, be angry but not sin,
yes.
And don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Amen.
So out of 26 years, I can probably honestly say there hasn't been over 3 times that we might have gone to bed angry, you know, and that's probably called a fella asleep, you know. but we don't fuss and fight now. We do have discussions every
that's
now
what
and then.
That's
what we call it. Intense fellowship. That's what we call it at our house.
Oh, that's a good one.
Intense fellowship. But okay, my last thing is, if you could give any advice, let's say there's a young couple in here and you're like, I really want to help y'all out. What is one piece of advice that you would tell them today?
My piece of advice is, if either one of the persons in the relationship questions everything you do or wants to check your phone every time you turn around, or they're controlling you, and I promise you, when you marry someone, they do not change unless it's through God. And if they're jealous of you or they don't trust you, then it's not going to work. Absolutely.
In other words, just break up right now.
Exactly.
Tell them like it is, Debbie. That's good.
Exactly.
That's good. Just know that the person that you're dating right now is the person that you're marrying.
Yes.
There is no magic wand when you get married. Things actually just intensify. So, yeah. Thank y'all so much.
I've got one more thing.
One more thing. I'm ready.
You know, being Christ-like is not always easy. So, men, the easiest way to have a good marriage is just always remember, yes, dear.
I love it. Thank you, guys. I'm going to bring up one more couple. This is Nikki and Alan. You guys can come on up.
I don't know if he's the loudest. This mic is quiet. This mic is loud. So who's the loudest?
I'm louder than
okay.
him.
All right. So this is Nikki and Alan. I'm sure you have seen Nikki at the connection table, and you've seen Alan up here playing guitar. You guys can come in the light a little bit. Yeah. There you go. So Nikki and Alan, they have been married for 6 years.
Yes.
They have their own business. Mm-hmm. They have 3 kids. And I want you guys to talk to us about staying connected, because life is crazy.
Well, when I asked you that question the other day, I want you to tell them, like, because we are joking, like, but what was your answer the other day?
I don't remember.
Every 5 minutes, like, 5 minute increments. But
didn't you ask him? You said, Alan, how do you think we stay connected? And he said,
5 minutes at a time.
Yeah. 5 minutes at a time. That's good.
I think my takeaway from it is I've always been a firm believer in dating your spouse, because you marry a person for a reason. And with every season, with every trial and tribulation, with every child, we've changed and we've evolved or we've grown or things like that. And when you date your spouse and genuinely date your spouse, you remember why you chose them. And it doesn't have to be a wine and dine. It doesn't even have to be your kids aren't there. It's just spending time. Like, one of our favorite things is to just, the kids fall asleep in the car and we just drive and listen to music and talk and share our goals and share our dreams. And
Foo Fighters.
And even just like talk about how we've overcome some of our battles. It's just, my biggest thing is to always date your spouse.
Well, she doesn't give herself credit. She's one of those people that will not give herself credit. And so those drives is a lot of times me saying, shut up, give yourself credit. Because, you know, you have to, I don't know, I'm a believer in that. You know, like when you do something good, you got to say, man, I did something good. When you do something bad, you got to say, man, I did something bad.
There you go. That's just being honest. I like that. All right. So would you say, okay, because these guys started attending church and they actually shared their story in our volunteer meeting that we have before church, but I just loved y'all's story because you honed in so much on when we started going to church together, mm-hmm. these things.
Well,
tell us about why that's important.
I'm going to be honest. Our first time was my first time. I came solo with 3 small kids. It was the beginning of the triggered session.
I didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go. We had gotten in a huge fight. We had just moved. We had lost our house. Alan had gotten furloughed. We moved in the middle of pandemic. We've lived away from Longview for 4 years. And when you move back, old demons surface, and we were struggling. And it wasn't the fact that we didn't love each other. Love is what's kept us stubborn through everything. Because in 6 years, we're a blended family. I have a son from a previous relationship. So when he married me, I was a package deal. And it was a culture shock for all 3 of us because he got a wife and a 2-year-old. And within, we found out we were pregnant with our daughter right before our 1-year anniversary. So in a few
years. That was the first time I got laid off. Yeah. Every time we find out that she's pregnant, I get laid off.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring you guys up here. Yeah. These guys have been through it and they love each other.
So we've lost 2 businesses.
2 businesses.
Been laid off.
Moved.
More times than I care to admit.
4 job changes.
I've moved her and the kids all over Texas. Mm-hmm. We had 1 kid born in Austin, 1 kid born in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And Riker was born here, so we got one from, you know, the corners.
Yeah, it's very fun when they ask the questions.
And I worked 18 hours a day through the whole thing because I was terrified. I didn't know how to be married. I didn't know how to support a family, and all I knew to do was to go to work. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I went to work, and I neglected my wife in that process. Mm-hmm. But she's the one that says, date your spouse, and she's the one that would always say, hey, nope. You got to go out with me this Friday. This one's mine. Yeah. And so she was the one that kept that going. So
yeah, and it wasn't that we didn't love each other. It was we had disconnected. And we didn't know how to be partners anymore. And we didn't know if our happiness would be better for everyone if we weren't together. And I came to Motion with three small children because of a friend who kept on like nudging me. And we had always said that we didn't have a church. We always knew, we had both been jaded by churches. We always said that we wanted to raise our children in churches, but we didn't ever have a church. We were actually married by friends because we didn't want our parents to fight over which pastor would marry us, so we chose to be married by friends.
My friend dressed and up in the Pope.
Yeah, this man would literally, any church we tried, if he didn't like it, he would get up in the middle of a sermon and leave me and say, "I'll meet you in the car." Or if the music sucked, he wouldn't even stay. Like, he'd be like, "Nope, not going back." So when I came solo with three kids, which was hard. And I remember thinking, music's not terrible. I don't think he'd complain. Pastor Chris would say things, and I'm like, oh, he'd get along with him. When I came home, and because he was actually, he had moved out for a few days to live at the shop for us to cool down. And he asked me what I thought about this church. And I was just like, it was good. And that drove him nuts. Because I didn't like say, we should go. Or I think you'd love it. Or like talk about everything. I would not answer him. Because I didn't want him to steal the spark and the joy that I found where I was like, this could be something for us. And 3 weeks later, he is the one that approached me. And he's like, hey, do you want to take the family to that church that you tried out? And I was like, sure. And I remember sitting through the church with him, watching his face with certain reactions, waiting for him to like show something. And he didn't say anything.
Get up and leave.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was like, please don't say anything to get us kicked out. Please don't say anything to get us kicked out. And then like the next Sunday, he was like, he got up that morning and he's like, you getting up? We're going to church. Since the last weekend of July, this man has not missed a single day of church. I've only missed one because our child was sick. And this is a man who I never thought would be back on stage. This is a man who I saw run from churches, run from God. We both were runners for a long time. And bringing God back into our marriage has taught us growth, has taught us how to overcome our battles, has taught us how to talk to each other again.
That's my deal, the growth. When the first time I heard Pastor Chris, I'm a podcast nerd and I'm a growth, like I'm obsessed about growth. It's all I think about, all I talk about, neuroscience, growth. Because when I thought I could fix my wife. I was that dude. And all I learned after doing like 100 hours of research is that I was broken.
And exactly. So
I didn't figure out how to fix her at all. All I figured out that I was screwed up.
We were actually friends for years. We got engaged after 90 days. And like I remember back in the day, like people would be like, why don't y'all date? And I'd be like, he can't handle me. Apparently he can.
Yeah, but anyway, just Pastor Chris, man, he's growth. He's growth mindset. He's growth oriented. And he wants everybody in here to grow. And for me, that's just what connected for me. And that, and I'm the dude that, man, I'll let you run over me with a car if I think it's going to help my wife and kids. Like, I don't care. There is no line for me if it's going to benefit my wife and kids. And the first time they came in here, like, this place was going to be good for my wife and kids. And so I didn't care about me as much. But obviously, as soon as you get involved, and these guys are so good at pulling people in. So, you know, like I said, but if me growing helps my wife and kids, then that's what I'm going to do. So, but yeah.
That's great. I just love their story because they're like, yeah, and then we just started coming to church and like our marriage just got stronger and we grew together. And I wanted y'all to share that because it's so important to be centered in Christ, not just in marriage, in friendships, like have people that are like-minded. Thank you guys so much. Give it up for Nikki and Alan. They're amazing. If this is your first time, you got to come back next week because Chris is like so good. And I love cheering him on. Just one little thing to just any relationship is be your friends, your spouses, your kids' cheerleader, not their critic. Be their cheerleader. That is so important in friendships and in any relationships. Be the cheerleader, not the critic. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this wonderful time of coming together and learning more. God, you put all these little humans on the earth, and then you gave us this book of love that teaches us kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, and all of these things that we need, God, in our lives to be successful in relationships. And God, I pray for any single person in here that maybe they haven't been giving that TLC to the closest people around them, that they would do so after today. God, that we would be mindful not to be distracted, not to be disconnected, and not to be destructive, Lord, when we're talking, when we're thinking. God, that you would help us love ourselves so that we can go love others. And Lord, I pray for every person in here that is in a broken place. God, that you would lift them up. God, that you would hold their chin high and say, hey, hey, I am love. I am what you need. And God, that as they seek you, that all of the wonderful relationships would be added to their life. God, you are merciful and loving and gentle and kind. And we thank you so much that your love never fails and that it perseveres no matter what. No matter if we lose our job, no matter if we move cities, God, that we would stay connected to the body of Christ through the local church. Lord, thank you for everything wonderful that you've done. And continue to show your love through us to others. It's in your name we pray. And the church said, amen.